Well, and some of you, I would think my wife and some others would pray a little longer than that, but you know, there is something about the connection with God's people, with each other. I look at this. This has a lot in it. This is not just something to read through and pass by. The people loved each other, and they realized Peter was going to be executed the next morning. He was going to be gone. This was the end of him. And the church was back there. Dear Lord, would you help Brother Peter this evening? You see, dear God, what all is going to happen in just a few hours. He's going to lose his life, and we need him in the church. We need him, Lord. We need him as a brother. We need him as a minister. We need him, dear God, as one of yours. You see the persecution that's came upon us, and it seemed like we're caught here powerless and we don't know what to do, Lord. But we're here. We're apart from him. He can't hear our voice, and we're crying out to you. Please help us. Please, Lord, intervene for us. And there's a connection that's made from that little group of folks over there praying to the God in heaven. And there's a triangulation. It goes up and it comes down. And the Lord looks over and says, Gabriel, go down there and fix this problem. Here he is. I'm not sure that was his name, but I would rather think it was someone that had knowledge of where he was at. How did he find him with all the prisons and jails around? How did he find him and single him out? He knew right where to go. You couldn't stop him. He could go through walls. There was no way to stop him, and he knew where he was at. And he had a way of knocking all those people out. They was in a stupor. They couldn't even see where he was there. Here he was, the jailer, the men that kept him. The soldiers was clear asleep. He said, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Oh, here we are. Maximum security. This would have to be maximum security because here is a man that is wanted heavily by Herod. You make sure this man does not get away. And he's chained. And there he was asleep. And it said, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. He knew exactly where to go. Isn't that amazing? God help Peter. Which Peter? How many Peters are there in the world? How many Peters would you have to look around and know and find? Here's the one specifically, Lord. We want you to help him. And he... No, ma'am, no GPS. He knew where to go. He knew where to get him. And here he was dispatched and he came. I want to say something this evening again to remind us. Don't want to be redundant, but I believe God wants to help us beyond the normal conditions. When we're under normal conditions, things like this just don't happen. When we're under normal conditions, sometimes we begin to get lax. And sometimes we forget how to pray. And sometimes we just get a little careless. Under normal conditions, really, we have to admit sometimes, I do tonight, that we don't pray as earnestly as we ought to. That we don't seek God really as earnestly and fervently as we should. It's not until we have problems and difficulties really that we get in to a place of earnestness with God. God help us this evening to see we are in a critical place. People are asleep. People are rocking on and snoring and carrying on as far as their spiritual life is concerned. And they have no idea what's happening. We don't want to get caught unawares, but I'm telling you, we're in that time. We need to be stirred to the very core of our soul. We need God to help us. But under normal conditions, we're not going to see the miracles and things that God wants us to see. So what happened? The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Can you imagine how wonderful it is to see light in a dark place, to see what's going on? Have you ever been scared and something you felt brushed go by you and brush past you and you didn't know what it was? It's kind of furry and it just kind of slid by you. There was things. Peter was sound asleep. He must have been at rest in the Lord. I believe he was. Here came this light and it shined. And it said here, that light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Do you know, this is not normal for chains to fall off of a man. It's not normal for the iron gates to open to themselves, automatic openers. It's not normal. But we find something that was going on that wasn't normal. We find that prayer had been offered and prayer had begun a work. The connection between heaven and earth was made. And when that connection was made through prayer, things begin to happen. Under normal conditions, folks, we'll never see these things. But I tell you, there was a night that there was things operating under abnormal conditions. There was things that didn't normally happen every day. I want you to know at nighttime, there are so many stars out there we don't hardly ever see. I was out one night and there was one of the deputies had these night vision goggles, and he said, "Look up in the sky." And I did, and it was like the popcorn on this ceiling. There were stars that thick through the sky. There were so many things I couldn't see with my natural eye, but with those night vision binoculars, it just looked like that. It was like this ceiling. There were so many stars. I tell you, there are so many things that God wants to do for us this evening. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. And he wants to, under normal conditions, these things just don't happen. But there was something, that power of God working, that quickening power, that spiritual power, there was something happening and going on. And Peter was able, as he followed that angel, gates began to open. The chains just automatically fell off. How were they secured? I don't know. If Peter became his body became partly, I don't know. There's something there that's a little bit, strange. He could have walked through walls. I don't know. I don't believe the angel came in the front door and asked permission to get in. I believe he just somehow appeared and he was there. I want to say there's a lot of memories that I have of God working in my own life. And there was some conditions that wasn't just real normal. There were things going on that we needed an intervention from God. And I'm thankful that he intervened and helped many times. I think about my mom that had rheumatic fever one time. She had it two or three times. But she had that rheumatic fever. And I remember this sister, Emery, came over to pray for his brother Ori's aunt. And she came in there and she said, "Now, Ruby, I want you to put your hands or your arms around my neck and we're going to get up out of that bed and walk." I remember her saying that to my mom, and I was just a boy and I was kind of in the hallway, and here she came. My mom could hardly get up and her feet and limbs was just all so weak and all through this rheumatic fever, the high fever that she had. But I remember seeing my mom and Sister Emery come down that hallway, and they would take one step at a time, and Sister Emery would say, "Now, Ruby, say, praise the Lord." And Mama said, "Praise the Lord." She said, "No, every time you take a step, say, praise the Lord." So here they were going and trudging down that hall. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, my mom learned how to walk again. She came out of there. And I just believe this evening, God wants to encourage the church of God and help us to see, folks, that we are not just to be subject to the normal conditions sometimes and give in to them. There is a press and there is something we need to do. There's things that we need to actively be praying and seeking God for. I know this works. I've seen it work in my life. I remember when I graduated from Oklahoma State Tech, there was 52 of us or 53, something in the 50s. And it came time, and this company came and interviewed, and almost every one of those young men wanted to get that job. Some of them had already had job places they wanted to go and do things. And I wanted to get it because it was close to home and everything. And I was praying, and I've been commuting with a couple of guys, and I'd have my Bible with me and be reading my Bible sometimes, And I didn't try to be obnoxious. I didn't want to be offensive to these guys. That was just what I did. And so we all interviewed with this company. And a few weeks they came and they're at the school and said, "Well, congratulations, Bell. You got your job." And I said, "Whoa, I'm thankful for that." Well, them boys said, "Give me that Bible. I want to start reading it." They wanted to get a hold of that Bible. And later on, I asked my boss, I said, I was kind of cocky, I guess. I said, "How did you, pick me?" He said, "Oh, we threw your names in a hat. We just pulled your name out of the hat." Well, that kind of took the wind out of my sails. I thought, well, this was, you know, they thought I was real. Oh, they just picked your name out. But, you know, under normal conditions, I probably wouldn't have had a chance. But here's a God in heaven, and I can tell you the rest of the story, but I'm not going to. But I'm telling you, there's more things that are lining up if we'll follow our God, and we'll not be intimidated, and we'll not be weak, and we'll not just back up and say, "I can't do that. I'll never be able to walk out of that prison with all them people looking at me, and all." And all the angel and everything being, "I never could do." What does that sound like? Big sissy? Something? I don't know. That sounds like real weak, doesn't it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm telling you, we'll never be able to minister to this world with some of these intimidations that we're under. And personality conflict or little things that we feel so intimidated by. It's hard to minister to people whenever we have these weaknesses and we're just overwhelmed by them. Listen, under normal conditions, most of us, we get comfortable under the normal. But God is saying to us this evening, "I can work with you. I can help you if you just give me your hand. I've got places to take you, young people. I've got roads for you to travel on. I've got lots of things for you to do in life. Get out of your inferiority complexes and things that were being intimidated. I got pimples all over my face. I'll never make it. I had a big one on my nose. I remember, I don't want to go to school. It's so big and just, oh, it hurt." Went anyway, and some of my friends, they was laughing at me. I'm going to tell you, there's more than a pimple to be afraid of in life. There's things that we got to face. You can't let a pimple ruin your life and your day just because you have scars on you. Don't worry about it. It really doesn't matter when you weigh it out in eternities and the weight of it. It doesn't really matter. God wants to bring us through some things. I was visiting with my nephew, and I know you might have had different people say, where did you get all these stories? Well, they just happened to me. I don't know. I was telling my nephew about how God wants to humble us, and He works through us through humble vessels. When we got to the airport, we were headed to Mexico, and I went to the restroom, and I got toilet paper hung up in the back of my pants, and I didn't know it. I'm sorry. I know this is church, but I'm just telling you these things happen. And I walk out of there and didn't know it with that on my... I'm going, and Matthew, he's looking at me. He said, Uncle James, and he didn't just immediately tell me, let me go on for a while. And, oh, later on I said, Matthew, I'm just telling you, you've got to be humble, son. This is how you do it. And we kept going. I want to say to us this evening, whatever, we need to have the attitude, God, whatever it takes to make it, I want to make it. I want to make it. I don't want to be hide behind these inferiority complexes all my life. And just, I just can't. I had a headache. Every Sunday that I went to church when I first got saved, a little boy would just peek over the bench and look at me like that, and it's like, wonder what's wrong with me? Why is he looking at me like that? I didn't know. I'm just telling you, folks, there's things we can get hung up on, and we get to thinking life has just got to be so perfect all the time, and I've got to be perfect, and I've got to operate under these normal conditions all the time, or I'm not going to be accepted. I've got to come up to this certain place before I can be accepted. It's just old pride. It's old pride that's working in our lives. We need to cast that aside and recognize it for what it is. It's just old pride. You don't have to have the front seat. You don't have to have the best of everything. You just have to have a humble heart. You have to ask God and love Him with your heart. And I'm telling you, that life will radiate out in the world. There's so many things that I've seen that God can do with a person that is humble and willing to be worked with. I want to look in the book of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Please pray for me this evening. He said in the 5th verse, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he shewed him a place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. I believe that. I'm just simple enough to believe it. Right. Master, I borrowed this axe. I need help. The head fell off. It flew off in the water. There wasn't no big to-do about it. He said, where was it at? And he said, well, it went somewhere over there. He put a stick in there. And here that old head came up out of the water floating, floated on top. There it is right over there. Go get it. Go get it. There it is. Going out there, it defied all laws of gravity. Was that normal? It was totally out of line with nature. Completely out of line, but here there was a need. Where there's a need, you know, God can meet that need. I know Brother Michael has experienced things in Africa. It was out of the normal. There were things that happened that was not normal. It happened. It was the power of God. Where are we going to see things in life? When is life really going to happen to us? Don't wait. Don't be thinking, well, I'm going to wait till I feel this stirring and moving, and then I'm going to jump in, and things are going to start happening. And I want to be a part of that. When the multitudes are rushing in and everybody's in on it, that's when my chance has come, and I'm going to get in there. Jesus went many times solitary, unnoticed. Here he looks up, and out of the city is a procession, a funeral procession, and here's this young man, and they've got him up on their shoulders. He's watching it coming along. He's looking there at the people crying. He's seeing his mother. You know what he did? He went over there and he stopped them. Stop for a moment. Put his hand up on that casket. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. This man said, the young guy said, Sup, what are you doing up here? What's going on here? And the people got so happy they let him down on the ground. This boy stands up. His mom's happy. He changed the whole course of things. How many things are waiting for us? But folks, listen, under the normal conditions, there's peer pressure. What will people think of me? What will they think? You got to overcome that. I was in school one time and they were handing out little speeches you had to give. You had to give these impromptu, thank you. They was giving out. So whatever they gave you, you spoke on it. You had a certain time, everybody. So one guy, his was on toilet stools. And another guy, his was on something else. And the one on the toilet stools, I thought, I wish I'd have got that one. I could have sure talked. You know what mine was on? Hairstyles. I'm telling you. And it had to deal with women and short hair and things. And I'm watching the clock and thinking, please talk more about that toilet stool. Because if you can talk long enough, I'm not going to have to say anything. Because this scripture came to me. Don't you know it's a shame for a woman to have short hair? The clock didn't run out. And I got up and I said, well, I want to tell you, there's a scripture that comes to my mind, the Bible, that says, don't you know it's a shame for a woman to have short hair? And the teacher's face got red. And here I am in trouble again. I thought, struggling to make this class. Now I've insulted the teacher. Strike three. You know, I made a passing grade. And this one young guy came and talked to me. He said, where do you go to church? Oh, how many lessons have we got to learn? Don't you know, under normal conditions, we don't see this happening. People are bored today, stiff, because they're operating under normal conditions. And they're dissatisfied with life. They're not seeing anything happen. They're fearful maybe of what could happen. And somehow we want to get away. We want to stay under these normal conditions. We'll never see the iron swim. We'll never get the job that we wanted. We'll never have the things in life we really desired. There'll be an emptiness that follows us if we stay under normal conditions. Oh, but here's Peter, and he's praying, and he's his church, the church of God was back there praying for him. Yes. Peter wasn't involved in it. He maybe had already said, Lord, give us a good night's rest in Jesus' name. Amen. He was out. But the church knew time's ticking. Time's ticking. Herod had those men killed that was responsible for holding Peter. It's amazing how many things had to be answered. How did this man get out of here? Who took the chains off of him? I can just hear the interrogation of the head jailer. There had to be some, these guys had to give an exact, they had to give some kind of excuse for what happened, and they didn't know. Last time I knew, he was right there by me asleep. Now he's gone. How did his chains get off? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Out the door. The next one come along, how'd this happen? I don't know. I was standing there and he was asleep, and how'd this change? I don't know. Not with him. And the people that kept the prison, but you see, there was something abnormal going on. And in our life this evening, I believe our God wants to bring about more things to show us His great power. He wants to show us His strength. He wants to show things to us and help us to come out of the and see beyond the normal. He wants to see, I work in ways that you hardly understand. You see, this evening, do you believe that Jesus spoke and to the waves and to the wind? He spoke to both of them. Peace be still. And I believe all of us really would believe that story. But how many of us believe tonight that the winds and the waves still know His voice? They still know His voice. And when they hear that voice, they have to stop. He is in control. Folks, this evening, God wants to bless us tonight. I thought of Moses' rod. It was nothing more than an ordinary shepherd's rod. But when he cast it down and it became a serpent, it became the rod of God. It was of very little value before that happened, but after it was used and it was raised and there was swarms of flies and there was plagues that was brought up on those Egyptians, after it was used to part the seas, after so many things happened with that rod, it was the rod of God. And it couldn't be auctioned off for nothing, very cheap at all. This was something God was working. And people probably thought, oh, if I had that piece, if I had His rod. That's not where the power lies. It's not in endeavoring to speak like somebody else, to act like somebody else, to try to imitate somebody else where your power is lying and use somebody else's gift. No, it's God working in us. He's wanting to say to us again, like He did to Moses, what is in your hand? And He said, it's a rod. Throw it down. Give it up. And that thing begins to be used by God, and our talents begin to be used by God. It's not of our own. We didn't do that. It was something that came from above. He's asking us tonight, what's in your hand? What do you have on hand? Little boy had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Do you know how dangerous that was to walk into a crowd of hungry people? You ever thought of that? How dangerous it was. Everybody's hungry and they're looking around and they see this boy. He's got something. He could have been mugged. It's a dangerous thing. But what he had was used to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children. Many people were blessed by that one little meal. Under normal conditions, it would have fed just a few. But when God blessed that, it became food for thousands of people. And today, it's the matter of turning things over to God that makes the difference. It's getting a hold of God. It's the church of God praying and seeking God for help that things begin to move and things begin to happen. How many times I could go on? There's so many things in the Bible that tells us the miracles of God that He done. Jesus did so many miracles, and we see Elijah and Elisha mentioned many times. But now let's bring it to us this evening. God is interested in us here on 444 East Evergreen. We come from different places, but He's interested in us this evening receiving something from Him and every one of us doing something for Him. That's abnormal. That's abnormal. We'd love to be around the calm seas, and we'd love to be when times are not turbulent, but in the abnormal is when our Heavenly Father shows His strength. In the abnormal, when things are out of hand, He comes down and He quiets our souls. He gives us peace in the storm, right in the midst of the storm. I remembered when little Ricky Madden was He loved his dad, loved to go with him everywhere he went. Dickie took him to all of his jobs, and he'd change his diapers and get him on that backhoe, and he just loved every bit of it. And he was playing on the trailer, around the trailer, and the trailer brakes failed, rolled over on top of him and killed him. His mom said, a few weeks later, she said, sobbing in prayer meeting one night, "I feel like a little bird in a little hollowed out place in a rock, and these winds are just going all around me, and I'm safe inside that rock." How wonderful it is when we have our Heavenly Father come by and give us help right in the midst of turbulent things, right in the middle of all kinds of things going on. We have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. He is able to help us, dear ones, this evening. I want to encourage you, whatever your limitations are, all of us have them. You've got them. Some of them you don't ever talk about. You won't ever mention them. But we all have them. Whatever those limitations are, just know that underneath, God can support us and He can help us. And He is not limited to His power. Remember, the winds and the waves still know Him. They still know His voice, and they hear Him speak, and everything quiets down. May God bless us tonight to have faith in our Heavenly Father. He cares for us and wants to bless us tonight, and He works in abnormal ways. He works in adverse circumstances, not afraid at all. Thank God tonight for the peace that He gives us and the help. May the Lord increase our faith. Take courage, young people, if you have some challenges, your physical limitations, your impediments, whatever they may be. You know, God can just work through those things and bless you and make